This story contains sounds from a military training exercise and may be upsetting to some listeners. On Wednesday, a bomb squad from Wilmington was called in to destroy an improvised explosive device found in a vacant home in Surf City. The bomb, made up of car flares, a battery pack, and wine bottles containing a liquid, was detonated in a nearby field. Even though this explosive device was easily identifiable, U.S. military and hostile countries have been on the lookout for these deadly and disfiguring devices in not-so-obvious places while conducting their missions. Knowing how to maneuver in an IED-laden environment can save lives, and the Camp Lejeune Marine Corps Engineer School's Defeat the Device training is teaching those vital skills to deploying troops. Operations Officer Lieutenant Greg Marchlinsky says the U.S. Marine Corps has found and cleared more than 13,000 homemade explosive devices from 2007 to 2011 in foreign countries.
So it's not just deal with the IED, but continue conducting your mission and your operations in that environment with an ability to then reduce the effect of that weapon system on your operations.
260,000 troops have received counter-IED training at sites in California, at 29 Palms and Camp Pendleton, and here in eastern North Carolina at Camp Lejeune. The 55-acre training lane in Holly Ridge opened in 2011 and includes two mock Afghani villages, several training ranges, and more than 2 miles of road where Marines can practice identifying potential threats while on convoy. The compound also includes classrooms where counter-IED instructor George Frick prepares Marines for what they may face in combat situations and how to appropriately respond.
On deck right now training, we have 18 with the Georgia liaison team that are going over to the Republic of Georgia, and they're being advisors with the Georgians whenever they move into Afghanistan.
On October 1st, I met with officials from Camp Lejeune's Engineer School for a site tour to learn more about IED training. Around 10 a.m., the day started with a briefing, and the team dismisses to the training lanes to implement skills learned in the classroom. During this foot patrol, the group will encounter small arms fire and multiple IEDs. Captain Dylan Baker with the Georgia liaison team says the two-day training will be invaluable.
These guys are in contact with on a regular basis with units in country and getting the most relevant and up-to-date TTPs, tactics, techniques, and procedures that the enemy's using, and bringing them to this environment and getting us as much immersed as possible before we deploy. So it's a huge confidence booster for us.
The term crawl, walk, run is often heard in the training lane. It's a metaphor describing the increasing difficulty of tasks to come. Site lead for mobile training, Craig Yohe, says the Georgia liaison team will encounter three scenarios. The first, a hoax IED.
The purpose of a hoax IED is multifaceted, okay? And so the first thing you have to ask yourself, a hoax IED being an IED that's very obvious. So you have to ask yourself, as far from an enemy standpoint, what is he trying to understand about me right now? All right, did he just poorly place a device in haste? Or is he wanting to see how I react?
Distant machine gun and heavy artillery fire rings in the background as the 18-member unit cautiously walks along the pine tree-lined road. Up ahead, one of the Marines spots an exposed orange tripwire in their path. When the IED is spotted, the unit immediately checks the 5 to 25-meter area around the known IED for a secondary device. With the reaction drill completed and security positions established, the exercise stops, and the Marines gather for a debriefing led by instructor Chad Graff.
Did anybody do good fives and 25s prior to getting down in their security position? Let's be honest here.
Not good enough. I was behind Doc, though.
Okay. No, well, I don't think we ever want to say not good enough. Do we think we might have been able to identify that secondary device had we done good fives and 25s, though?
Possibly.
You get where I'm going.
With the crawl stage behind them, the unit proceeds to the next training site, the walk stage. The Marines march quietly an eighth of a mile up the paved road to a mock village, similar to one you'd see in Afghanistan or Iraq. The uninhabited town includes stucco houses, a stoplight, parked vehicles, and signs in Arabic. The unit searches in and around the buildings, behind concrete block walls, and a suspiciously placed market cart. A Marine, dressed in camouflage, wearing combat gear, and carrying a semi-automatic rifle, signals that he's found a laboratory in one of the buildings. Defeat the Device branch chief, Master Sergeant James Paul, says the setup inside, nitrogen fertilizer bags, beakers, hot plates, and wire, simulate what a homemade explosive lab looks like and prepares Marines to identify them quickly.
It's not always this in-depth. It's not always this elaborate. Sometimes you'll be patrolling through an area or you'll be in an area where you just see something that you know doesn't belong. How many Afghans really need a bottle of hydrogen peroxide? The black jug with the red lid, typically that is hydrochloric acid. At least that's the bottle that comes in stock, for lack of a better term. But if you see something like that, you need to understand that that is an indicator or a precursor to an HME.
After the unit identifies the homemade explosive lab, they radio the location to headquarters and move further up the road. One of the Marines is inspecting a culvert when a practice IED suddenly goes off. Playing the part, the Marine pretends to be injured. Two unit Marines grab his feet and vest and carry him to a safe place where they radio for evacuation. Site lead for mobile training Craig Yohe says they encourage units to practice TTPs, tactics, techniques, and procedures during the training scenarios.
And that includes casualty evacuation, that includes establishing landing zones, and a whole bunch of other efforts, activating a QRF, quicker action force to respond to support them. So we encourage them as they begin to leave the crawl phase and enter the walk and run phase to begin to incorporate all those actions, because that's certainly what they'll be doing in real time.
As their comrade is carried to safety, other Marines take security positions and look for additional threats. The second training phase now complete, the unit debriefs. Next is the run phase of training. The Marines silently walk the gravel road away from the village, scanning ditches, looking in trees, and inspecting the ground for places an IED could be buried. The unit grinds to a halt.
You got to pass that brevity code, okay? Everyone's got to be aware of what's going on, why we're stopping at this point, all right?
Today's brevity code word is banana. The code is used to alert the unit to a potential threat without drawing too much attention. If there's a dramatic shift in the unit's reaction, a nearby enemy could detonate the IED. This stoppage is a false alarm. The team continues cautiously forward and splits, some patrolling the gravel road, some searching the ditch. In this simulation, an IED explosion injures a Marine and triggers a chain of events. Reacting, some members of the team maintain their security positions, another assists the injured person, and another radios for a medevac.
Right leg, shrapnel to the upper torso. Hemorrhaging from the right leg, unconsciousness. Treatment rendered, tourniquet applied.
Contact right foot!
Machine gun fire echoes through the woods up the road.
Hold front, sir!
That last explosion is a second IED going off behind the team. A Marine is lying next to the device when it detonates. Operations Officer Lieutenant Colonel Greg Marchlinsky.
They should be sweeping up to him and then conducting the same. So you have basically two casualty evacuations going on right now. So one at the front end, one at the back end, also with obviously a machine gun attack at the front.
Machine gun fire persists.
50 meters!
Some Georgia liaison members stay with the wounded. Others move forward to eliminate the threat. But the medevac process is taking too long.
Incoming!
Now the sound of mortar rounds adds to the confusion and chaos.
Any help moving this casualty?
When the training exercise is completed, the group huddles for one last debriefing.
I saw the major a couple times, and I think it was right here, sir, with the pink tape.
Yeah.
I saw you. He paid attention to it really heavily and then started to look around for other indicators.
Yeah, I just didn't
That's
find
perfect.
I didn't find anything else, and it said, you know, water or wetlands or whatever. So I was like, ah, well, somebody's been out here to put this up here. But
certainly. But initially, it was a baseline deviation.
Yeah.
You know, there's no other telephone pole we've passed
that has a pink
that has any pink tape wrapped around it.
That was the other thing, is that I saw the blue paint markings, and I meant to say something to Malat on that, but.
So I saw it.
The good thing is that we picked up on all those indicators.
The Georgia liaison team completed their training the first week of October and have since returned to the Republic of Georgia, where they'll advise troops as they move into Afghanistan. To see photos from my October 1st report, visit publicradioeast.org.